While working as a missionary in Uganda, a young Ugandan once approached me with the question, "Are you saved?" Obviously, he did not realize who I was, and bless his heart, he wanted to witness Jesus Christ to me. And so I responded to his question, "Saved from what?" And he said, "Are you saved from sin?" My response was, "Can you be more specific? Are you talking of the guilt and punishment of sin? Are you talking about the slavery and power of sin? Or are you talking of the nature and the presence of sin? Which one?" And after looking at me for a long time, he said, "You sound like a pastor." And I said, "Yes, I am a pastor. In fact, I'm a missionary to your country here." But I said to him in response, "Can I ask you the same question? Are you saved?" Well, with great gusto, with his arms lifted up in the air, he shouted to me, "Yes, I'm saved. I was saved 3 months ago." And I nearly responded by saying, "Oh, what on earth are you doing here if you are already saved?" Because you see, salvation, as we mentioned in our last study, is threefold. So that a Christian can say, "I am saved," but should never stop there. I am saved, I am being saved, and I will be saved. But the question I posed to this young man was, "If you are saved, how come I smell pombe, which is the Swahili word for beer, in your breath?" And he turned to me and said, "Pastor, you know we are saved by grace and not by what we do." "Oh," I said, "you mean to say that Christ lived a perfect life for us?" He said, "Yes. And he died instead of us." And the young man in excitement said, "Now you've got it." I said, "No, one more step." And he said, "What's that?" I said, "He also went to heaven instead of you." Oh, he didn't like that. He had a New Testament in his pocket. And I said to him, "Would you please read for me 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. Now, I gave him that passage because Timothy was a young man like this young man. I could have given him many other passages, but this one said it very clearly. What does that text say? It says, if we are to live with Christ, we must first die with him. You see, my dear listener, this young man had turned freedom in Christ into license. And you know, wherever the true gospel has been proclaimed in church history, there were always some who abused their freedom in Christ. This is the danger of the gospel that Dietrich Bonhoeffer, that great German martyr, called cheap grace. You see, legalism is the enemy of the gospel. But the danger of the gospel, of course, is antinomianism or cheap grace. Now, Paul, of course, is fully aware of this problem. In fact, he spent all of Romans 6 dealing with this very issue. Shall we keep on sinning because we are under grace, because grace abounds? And the answer is, God forbid. Shall we keep on sinning because we are not under the law but under grace? And the response also is, it is unthinkable. God forbid. And here in our study today, Galatians 5 verse 13 to 15, Paul shares this very concern to the Galatian Christians. He does it for two reasons. Number one, because of the danger that these Galatians face from moving from legalism to antinomianism. The other reason is because the Judaizers accused Paul of this very thing. In other words, the Judaizers said to Paul, if you tell the world, if you tell Christians that they already stand justified in Christ, that they are perfect in Christ, they are complete in Him, they have already passed from death to life, you have removed all incentives to live a holy life. Well, that is because the Judaizers really did not understand true justification by faith. And so, today as we turn to Galatians 5, 13 to 15, we are going to look at what true Christian freedom is. How are we to define true Christian freedom? First, we need to be clear what the good news of the gospel has set us free from. Then we can understand what Christian freedom is not. In our last study, which was verses 1 to 12 of Galatians 5, Paul reminds the Galatian Christians and us that Christ has set us free, and we must not allow anyone to rob us of this freedom. Now, what is the freedom we have in Christ? Basically, four areas. Number one, Christ has set us free from all condemnation. You know, in Romans 8, verse 1, we have this wonderful statement. And the statement is made in the context of the Christian struggle to live a holy life. But he says, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You know why? Because in Christ Jesus, you and I have been set free from the law and its curse. So number one, Christ has set us free from the condemnation of the law. Secondly, Christ has set us free from the fear of death. And by death, I mean the wages of sin. Goodbye to life forever. Let me read you a beautiful statement concerning this in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2. And if you have your Bibles, it may be wise for you to follow in your Bibles what I am reading. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise, referring to Christ, shared in the same. He became one of us, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Every human being is born a slave to the fear of the wages of sin, the grim reaper, death. That is why the saying is correct. There are no atheists in foxholes. Jesus came to set us free from this fear of death. And that was accomplished by his life, death, and resurrection. And all of this was based on his love. Man was redeemed because of God's unconditional love. And that is why in 1 John chapter 4, from verses 16 to 18, the Apostle John tells us that perfect love, a perfect knowledge of God's love and his redeeming activity in Christ sets us free from the fear of the judgment. So number two, Christ has set us free from the fear of eternal death. And this is what made it possible for the Christians in the early church, for the Christians in communist countries, to be willing to die for their faith. Why? Because they knew in whom they believed. Thirdly, Christ set us free from our slavery to sin. You see, sin is not only an act. Sin is also a force. It is a power that dwells within our very nature. Paul brings this out clearly in Romans chapter 7. He says the law is spiritual in verse 14, but we are carnal, sold as a slave to sin. Christ also made this very clear to the Jews. I would like you to listen to the words of Christ recorded in John chapter 8, verse 32 to 36. Here is Jesus talking to the Jews, and this is what he says, a statement that I have often repeated at the end of our studies. John 8, 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Free? Free from what? That is the question the Jews wanted to know. So they answered in verse 33, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you shall be made free? I don't know how the Jews could say this, because right then when they were speaking those very words, they were under the bondage of Rome. But listen to Jesus' answer. Jesus answered them, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. Jesus was not talking to the Jews about political freedom. He was talking about mankind's slavery to sin. Verse 35, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but the son abides forever. And now listen to verse 36. For here Jesus defines what he meant by the word truth. Therefore, if the son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Oh, my dear listener, Christ has set us free from the slavery to sin. In fact, in Romans 6, verse 18 and 22, Paul tells us that because we Christians, we justified believers, have been set free from sin, we have a way of holy living and the end result, eternal life. Finally, number four, Christ has set us free from under the jurisdiction of the law. In Romans 6:14, Paul tells the believers, law, sin shall no longer have dominion over you because you are not under the law but under grace. In Romans 3 verse 19, Paul tells that the whole world stands condemned, guilty under the law. But in verse 14 of Romans 6, talking to believers, he tells them they are no longer under law but under grace, which means that a Christian, one of the freedoms he has received is from under law to under grace, from the jurisdiction of the law. No longer can the law come to you and say, obey and live. If you disobey, and you will die. For a Christian is no longer under law. Doesn't live under that system. He is under grace. And grace brings salvation on the basis of the doing and dying of our Lord Jesus Christ. So these are the four areas that constitute true Christian freedom. Freedom from the condemnation of sin, freedom from the fear of death, freedom from our slavery to sin, and freedom from the jurisdiction of under the law, the rulership of the law. But the gospel does not set us free to sin or even to live a life that is in harmony with the desires of our sinful nature. In the heart of every human being, dear listener, is an inborn desire for freedom. Political freedom, economic freedom, social freedom, and spiritual freedom. In fact, most of the wars that we see today displayed on our TV sets is a result of this desire for freedom. But too often, when it comes to spiritual freedom that we receive in Christ, because man cannot save himself spiritually, he's bankrupt. But too often, when we accept our freedom in Christ, this is often misused and misunderstood. Let me give you a quick example. One day, whilst walking, taking my wife to the African market there in Kenya, in the highlands of Kisii, I saw a bunch of old men handcuffed and guarded by a policeman. And while my wife was shopping, I decided to try and comfort these prisoners. Didn't know what they had committed, what crime they had committed. So I said to them in Swahili, why are you in handcuffs? What is your problem? And one of the older men said to me, when is Uhuru coming to an end? The word Uhuru means independence. Independence from the British rule. And I said, coming to an end? No. Your freedom now is permanent. You have obtained independence. Now the question that this old man was concerned about was this, that while Kenya was a British colony, the British government was not so strict about these national Africans paying tax. If they failed to pay the tax, they were required to fix the road in front of their houses so that it would not cost the government to fix the roads. But when they fought for freedom, many of the Africans of Kenya thought that freedom means no more tax paying. And so I had to explain to these poor Africans who were being handcuffed for failing to pay their tax that when you have independence, that means responsibility. I asked these fellows, how on earth do you expect the Kenya government to run this country without money? And how are they to get the money if they don't charge you tax? Likewise, folks, Christianity, while it sets us free from these four areas that we have mentioned, does not set us free to do what we please. I am mentioning this because, you see, some years ago, this country, United States, decided to give their people freedom. We call that new morality, moral freedom. But you see, since man is a slave to sin, this moral freedom, this new morality, has produced endless problems to this country. Sex, that is, premarital sex has increased, abortions has increased, all kinds of problems have increased, so that we have reached the point where crime and sin has so multiplied in this country that many theologians are desperate to solve the problem. And they have come up with an idea that is basically legalistic. It's called Reconstruction Theology. In other words, these theologians want the leadership of this country to fall into the hands of Christians who will then legislate morality. Folks, that is legalism. You cannot legislate morality. It doesn't work. Countries that have tried it have ended up in corruption. The only way that man can be set free from his slavery to sin is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, the cross of Christ. And so Paul is aware of the problem of the Galatians moving from legalism to antinomianism. And so in this passage of chapter 5 of Galatians, verses 13 to 15, he is talking of what Christian freedom is not. Before we look at the passage in detail, let's read it, as our custom is. If you have your Bibles, listen to what Paul says. It's a very short passage, but full of significance. Galatians 5, verse 13 to 15. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. Paul tells us here what Christian freedom is not. Number one, Christian freedom is not freedom to indulge in the flesh. That is in the first part of verse 13. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. Number two, Christian freedom is not freedom to exploit our fellow believers. That's in the second part of verse 13. What does he say there? But, instead of license, but, through love, serve one another. You see, the gospel does not give us the license to live as we please. The gospel does not give us license to exploit our fellow man, as some were doing. I would like you to look at a passage that had gave me tremendous help in the mission field when beggars who could work, who could do a work for their living, found it easier to beg than to work. The passage I'm referring to is 2 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, especially verse 6 to 9. I want you to listen the counsel that Paul gives to these Thessalonians, these Christians in Thessalonica. Keep in mind that many of the Christians in Thessalonica believed that Christ was coming soon. They stopped digging their gardens, and they were sponging now on their fellow believers. And this is what Paul says to them. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6 to 9. But we command you, have you got it? Paul is forthright. We command you, brethren, that is the believers in Thessalonica, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. And here's the command, verse 10, for even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. You know, too many people take advantage of Christian love and hospitality. And Paul says, don't allow that to happen. Yes, Christians must serve one another. But if anyone takes advantage of this charity, then we must apply what Paul tells us in 2 Thessalonians verses 3, chapter 3, verses 6 to 10. My dear Christian, Christian freedom is not freedom to exploit our fellow believers because they happen to be people of love. Thirdly, Christian freedom is not freedom to disregard God's law. You see, there are many people who think that Paul is against the law. No, dear Christian, Paul is not against the law. What he is against is the law being used as a method or as a means of salvation. But when it comes to the law as a standard of Christian living, Paul will uphold the law. And the law, and especially the spirit of the law, which is love, must be upheld as a standard of Christian living, but condemned as a means of salvation. Listen clearly to verse 14 of Galatians 5. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You see, because of our sinful nature, we are born egocentric. We are born with unconditional unchangeable love towards self. We love ourselves when we are good. We love ourselves when we are bad. Because the love that God instilled in Adam at the creation made a U-turn at the fall so that it became self-centered. What Paul is saying and what Christ said also in Matthew 19 to the young man who said, what good thing must I do to be saved? What Paul is saying, what the Bible is saying is this, just as we love ourselves unconditionally, we must likewise now project this unconditional love towards our fellow man. Now this is impossible through human effort. This is the result of the power of the gospel in your life and my life. And that is why Paul says, when a person stands under the umbrella of justification by faith, not only do we have peace with God, but also we have a transformation of life. We have a life which in terms of our human relationship is a life of love. And when we love one another, then all the law is fulfilled because now we are reflecting, we are producing, we are experiencing the fruits of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, temperance, and so on, against which the law has nothing against. And now, finally, he ends up in verse 15 of Galatians 5, but if you bite and devour one another, that is what legalism produces. The moment you go under the umbrella of legalism, no longer do we look at Christ for our salvation. We look at ourselves. Let me put it this way. Under grace, all of us are 100% sinners saved by grace. Therefore, there is nothing to compare ourselves with each other. We are all in the same boat, totally depraved, saved by grace. Our hearts are filled with joy and appreciation. But legalism looks at your performance, and our performance are not the same. And you will discover that when a person is a legalist, he tends to judge himself or compare himself or herself with those who are less successful than he or she is. And so you have a lot of controversy, a lot of biting, a lot of devouring each other, a lot of judging. And Paul says, if you go back to legalism, your church will cease to be a loving church. It will be a church full of jealousy, full of backbiting, full of gossip, full of judging each other. That's the fruits of legalism. So what is our conclusion regarding this passage? Well, it's very clear. The Christian life is neither the life of legalism, works of the law as a means of salvation, nor a life of license, do as you please. It is a life of liberty, but true Christian liberty has certain responsibilities motivated by love. And those responsibilities are twofold. Do nothing that affects your relationship to God. And when you look at Paul's counsel to Christians from chapter 12 onward in Romans, especially chapter 14, verse 7 to 8, you will realize that we as Christians should do nothing that affects our relationship to God. Number two, Christian responsibility means doing nothing that will cause a fellow believer to stumble. On the one hand, we live a life that is pleasing to God. On the other hand, we do nothing that will cause our fellow believer to go in the wrong direction. True Christian freedom means now you are free to live a life of loving service and a life of self-control. And my dear listener, let us avoid these two traps that Satan has set. He doesn't care which trap you fall into. He doesn't care which ditch you have slipped into. Legalism on one side and antinomianism or cheap grace on the other. Neither of these represent the gospel. Yes, they may in certain aspects resemble the gospel, but they are counterfeits. And so it is my prayer that you and I will keep on that narrow road that leads us to heaven, that narrow road which is Christ and Him crucified. On the one hand, we will be on guard against any form of legalism that sidetracks us from this gospel. On the other hand, we must avoid the danger of cheap grace. Christianity has got a bad name because too many Christians have failed to live up the Christian life. Love for God and love for their fellow man. And may it be never said of us Christians living today that Christianity opens the door to live a life of license. May God bless us that we may keep on that narrow way. And it is my prayer that we will reflect the life of Christ while we rejoice in the peace that we have through Him. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.